You're listening to The Alex Spicer Show, where we like to focus on God, family, freedom, and religion, and discuss the true principles that ensure our happiness and our success in light of current and historical events.
Welcome to The Alex Spicer Podcast. I've got here my co-host, Robert, who by no stretch of the imagination at all looks anything like a very, very good candidate for the Sound of Music.
Never seen it.
Well, I'm pretty sure you did, but you were a very young child and you don't remember it.
Well, then that doesn't count.
Yeah, there's that dude singing, "You are 16, going on 17.
Yeah.
Yeah, but oh yeah. Also, myself, I am your host, and I am here to enlighten your brains with some inspiration and knowledge. But no, seriously though, the things that we talk about here, we really do want to discuss things that are important that will allow you to think and understand the world, and also how human beings can shape that world. That way, it's not just specific to one sort of news art news event. We may bring up news events, but the things you learn here, you can apply, I believe, throughout time. So, Rob, you and I were talking earlier about Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. There's that video.
Play it.
If I could find it. You want to describe it while I look for it?
Well, it was just some Asian guy. Who called Americans or America?
He said Trump.
A-holes or something like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know what was going on. It was in Hong Kong?
Yeah, it was. Let's see, I turn this down.
It's so funny. I mean, I could understand it to a degree if he's wanting America to save Hong Kong. This is before Hong Kong merged.
Yeah, so when Hong Kong was having the protest because they were being taken over by communist China, and they were pleading for America's help, and also they're desperate to maintain their freedom, which they lost now, which I feel very awful about. Someone was interviewing this guy who's holding up a flag that says Hong Kong independence, and this guy asked him, if you had a message to Trump, what would you say?
Trump, do you think he should step in?
Donald Trump, don't trust China. China is asshole.
Excuse the French there. I apologize. I should have given him the warning before.
It doesn't even sound like a cuss word. But he's right. I feel bad for him. But that is
But it's so funny sounding. Donald Trump, don't trust China. China is butthole.
America. Oh, he said China was butthole?
No, he said China. He said Donald Trump don't trust China.
He said
China.
America.
No, he said China is a-hole.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, they don't have perfect English. How is he to convey China is evil and doing bad stuff? A-hole.
Yeah.
But either way, like it's hilarious to talk about, but it's still depressing to think. I had said to you, I'll just say it again. I just feel so bad for them that I feel like we should have done something. You brought up a really good point.
The answer is no. No means no.
No. How about no?
How about no? Yeah, isn't it? Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil.
No means no.
Yeah. And that's where, and here's why actually the true answer is no. We really shouldn't get involved as much as we want to, because I feel so bad for these people. They have been for many, many years have been living a model based on the free world and tried very, very carefully to mimic a lot of the American model, following capitalism, strong infrastructure, good government.
Under British
rule, but then they've been independent for a time now, with China being like, "I will take you over soon once the agreement is over," and
even though the agreement was they wouldn't.
The agreement was they wouldn't for, I think it was like 70 years or 90 years. Long time. Either way, they jumped in now. Honestly, England never should have given China that ability ever. But England decided, we got to be less colonial. And got to withdraw from all these places around the world. Now, as an American, I say, well, yeah, that's a good thing, right? Because Americans shouldn't be all over the world. We should be focused on ourselves.
Oh, man.
But we're not America, so I'm going to speak for England.
Yeah.
England, you literally were an empire. You were an empire nation. You were all across the world. And you established satellite countries. The problem here is, you could do that with India. You could withdraw from India and not have this problem because India is a vast nation that is not trying to destroy anything foreign to it. In fact, they, as corrupt as India is, India has still continued to maintain a lot of the Western thinking and tradesmanship that they were introduced to. What you have here differently, though, with Hong Kong, China is a communist nation that killed tens of millions of people.
Yeah.
And they are a national, they are international threat. They are a global evil superpower.
But I like their food.
I don't. My colon does not either.
No. Oh, I mean like their American Chinese food. I had Chinese food on the plane when we went to Thailand. We stayed a day in China and it was disgusting. It was like plastic.
Yeah, well, rubber. Probably is. That's why their skin starts to produce all these growths over time.
The Chinese?
Oh, yeah, all the time. A lot of Asian people, including a lot of Filipinos when I was there.
Huh.
Yeah, they just like, oh, beautiful people, but they eat that crap long enough and their skin starts to create those like skin tags all over it.
Oh,
and
geez.
Moles are just like,
huh.
It's because what they eat is not great.
Yeah, I was seeing.
Okay, we're off on a
tangent.
You get
parasites from having too much sushi.
Yeah, well, crap, I'm screwed. Either way, the difference with China and Hong Kong is you have China, which is its own nation.
China.
And it is a global evil power. In Hong Kong, Great Britain never should have given China this agreement that they would allow Hong Kong to ever be a part back to it, right? If anything, if they were to leave Hong Kong, they should have set up Hong Kong as a very powerful independent nation.
Absolutely.
You know how like it's Thailand, right? Not Thailand.
You're thinking of Singapore, Taiwan.
Taiwan. They are their own power, their own nation.
Yeah.
Though they used to be a part of China forever ago, and they want to stay separate from it.
Yeah. Right?
Like these independent nations need to be well equipped and ready to wreak havoc. You know, cause their enemies to reap the whirlwind if they try to come at them. But instead, Great Britain says, "Oh, China, you can have it. Thank you for the tea." You know, it's like, "Hey, just give him 70 years independence. Don't get any at all." And then Hong Kong has no way to defend themselves at all. That was a mistake, right? If you're going to leave a people, especially a people who have been so under your control for so long, that they want to be like you.
Sounds like Afghanistan.
No. This is where I'm drawing the difference. Is where we're in there. Great Britain was in there for
a way longer. Yeah, but they sound similar to Afghanistan.
It is similar, right? Like you need to leave them well equipped to handle foreign invading powers. Now the difference with Afghanistan and those Middle Eastern countries is that you have tribal warriors, like giant tribes, you know, millions of people in these tribes.
Yeah.
That are radicals and will never leave.
Huh.
Hong Kong was a well-established, like, it could be its own country, I believe. People say it's just a city, but it's freaking huge.
Yeah, Hong Kong.
I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
And so it should have been its own vassal nation, I think.
Boy.
Now, you have to take everything case by case. That's why I was drawing the distinction between Hong Kong and Middle East.
Oh, Afghanistan?
Anyways, yeah.
Yeah.
But this goes back to the question, you know, oh, should America get involved? Should we have stepped in and stopped China from doing something? Well, I think we should have, not militarily, but we should have been like, all right, we're going to do less work with you if you step in there. Because, I think it would be good if, you know, now that we're already in there, it is useful if we can create peaceful means of determent.
Uh-huh.
If we have peaceful means to determine to use them, but we did not. But as a whole, America should not be involved in foreign entanglements.
Yeah, why is that? See, you told me about this a few months ago, and it kind of blew my mind, because I never questioned
World War II. Oh, it was World War II?
Yeah.
It was a podcast episode, right?
Was it? I feel like we were just chatting.
I think once was a boys' night, we were chatting up. I swear another time was podcast. What did I say, though? Or what are you remembering?
Just like, you mentioned, I think George Washington, how he advised us to stay away from getting in any foreign entanglements. That's what you said. And it got me thinking, like, honestly, if anyone says, oh, from George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or any founding father, immediately I'm like, okay, then it's legitimate because they really, really thought this out.
They're very dang smart.
So if anyone said that with anything, I'd believe it. So don't lie to me. But
George Washington also said, give me your lunch money.
That's right. Yeah, here you go.
I think I remember that conversation, though. Just interject here. I think one of the things I said to you, I remember I've said this somewhere. I said, I am not convinced that we should have stepped into World War II. I think it was a waste of our men's lives.
And that blew my mind because I never considered it because we have too many Hollywood movies about it. So it's of course it's right. These are our heroes. Look at it.
Well, and they are our heroes, but that's the thing.
Well, they're somebody's heroes.
We don't ever question it, right? Because we go, oh, that was the greatest generation in American history. Mm-hmm. That's what they're known as, and I agree with that. I mean, they went in and did incredible things.
Yeah.
But did they have to? I mean, if you watch all these different interviews with World War II veterans, people say you're a hero, and I've never seen a single one answer differently. They all say, "I'm not a hero. The heroes are the ones who never made it back."
Oh,
right. They all say that because, I mean, we lost hundreds of thousands of people.
Boys and men, yeah.
Yeah, boys and men. I mean, then that's just tragic. That is completely tragic. It's not. It was not our war. Neither was World War One. Neither was World War One.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know how we were involved in World War One to begin with. But honestly, no one really thinks or cares about World War One.
The sinking of Lusitania, which was totally a setup. But go ahead, keep going.
Was that our ship?
It was a passenger ship. And Germany was like, don't go into these waters. This is a war zone. And they even, made it very clear. You may not enter these waters. You'll be, any ship.
Germany,
doesn't matter who you are.
Said that.
Yeah. And then, what do you know? For some reason, our government still sends a passenger ship into enemy waters where they said they will attack anything that goes in here. And then they sink it.
I should remember
and
this.
Then America
I did a
goes,
report on that.
If they're going to go in there. Right? It's the same ploy that we encountered in World War II with Pearl Harbor. The exact same ploy. We knew, the leaders of the world, bankers and the president, they did this on purpose to get us into this because they wanted to set up America with more money and become a power around the world. And they purposefully put Japan in a situation where they knew Japan would retaliate in some way and attack us. And we had all the information available to us to know that they were going to attack Pearl Harbor.
Very interesting. Sorry, he probably thought someone from China just got on the podcast. Nope. Alex is looking something up, so I'm stalling for time. Anyways,
oh,
I'm going to pick up smoking. Just kidding. Oh, what's this? A cigarette?
So this is
it's late.
This is something that Congressman Charles A. Lindbergh, Senior. He said this about World War One and internationalism, about how it is a horrible mistake. So he mentions how, we reelected a president who said he would keep us out of war because in his first term he did, and then in his second term he immediately starts going for getting us into war.
Huh.
And he said it starts stirring up the people into a frenzy, including using the sinking of the Lusitania, and he says we cannot properly blame the people of any European nations unless we blame ourselves. None of them were free from the danger of the others. We, however, were not in danger. Statements by profiteers and militarists, to the contrary, notwithstanding, the greatest good we could do the world at that time was to stay out. He's saying stay out of World War One. That's the greatest good we could have done. And that would have been infinitely better for ourselves, for it could have helped the world had we conserved our resources. There never was a nation that did a more unstatesmanlike thing than we did to enter the war. We came out without establishing a single principle for which we entered. And that's amazing. And he keeps going, but imagine that. He's saying, we came out without establishing a single principle for which we entered. It's like, we didn't really have a good reason for going in there. We didn't establish why we went in there. And then we didn't really establish anything certain when we left. It was kind of like, why did we go in? Why did we waste these men's lives? I mean, see how the power's up top? And this is common throughout all of history, that the people below, like common citizens, we are just resources to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. And he continues, he says, the one compelling duty of America is to put its own house in shape and to stand upon an economic system that will make its natural resources available to the intelligence, industry, and use of the people. When we do that, the way to world redemption from the folly of present chaos will stand out in our country so clearly, honestly, and usefully that we shall be copied wherever peoples do their own thinking. That's exactly right.
Huh.
Basically, he's saying what the Founding Fathers have said over and over, which is stay out of foreign entanglements.
Uh-huh.
Make yourself so strong and so whole as a nation, people will want to copy you once they have worked themselves out of their own chaos.
Yeah.
I mean,
totally. Yeah, we would be flying around in cars. If we just
probably,
stuck
I mean,
with ourselves.
Okay, let's think about this.
What? Probably.
We go into World War II. Shouldn't have done that. We lose all these men to free freaking Europe from their own stupid mistakes. I encourage every person here to do a serious study of the buildup of World War II and the faults of the leaders of the European nations, especially Great Britain, and how they enabled Hitler to cause World War II. It will piss you off. Sorry, it'll tick you off. It is very, very aggravating.
Ah, I'm virgin ears. What does piss mean?
Okay. If anyone was listening to this with their kids, Rob just like, I'll make sure to repeat any naughty words said.
Yes, do not say. No, I remember you telling me about that. You were mentioning, was it England that was doing something bad? That essentially.
Okay, so there were the Paris Accords. You have to forgive me if I'm forgetting the names. Either way, at the end of World War One, they said, Germany, you must sign these things. You are not allowed to build up your military to this degree or anything else like that. They basically, they shouldn't have done this. And even Winston Churchill said, we should not have done this. He said it at the time, not like post. We shouldn't do this. They basically put all the blame of World War One on Germany and put all these sanctions against them. So they couldn't really prosper as a nation. So they were constantly in economic depression. Huh. Things sucked. Things were bad. That was a big reason why Hitler was able to rise so well, because he's like, we're going to be a great nation again. And he started saying, screw these accords. Screw these restrictions.
Sounds like Trump.
And we're going to start building up our own country, except...
Sounds like Trump. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, not really at all.
I mean, just like generally, but once you dive into it and realize the nitty-gritty, it's not even close.
Hitler and Trump were not the only two people throughout history to invigorate a nation to build themselves up back to greatness again.
To put their nation first.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why it's called a nationalist. Yeah. So would you say...
Nationalism is actually a good thing to a degree, right?
It's not 100% a
bad thing, right?
Yeah.
Like everything can be used as a bad thing. Everything. But thing is, things have stigmatisms. Stigmatism. That's an eye thing. They've got weird eyes. Stigmas attached to them. I was trying to say stigmas attached, and there's an A and there's a T there, and I was like, stigmatism.
But luckily we have bifocals.
No, I'd like to use my monocle. I've only got the one stigmatism. In the left eye. All right, so Nationalism. To build up your nation and put your nation first is incredibly important and vital. Mm-hmm. Every nation has its own unique culture, values, history. You know, creating a combined world order is not possible without it being under Jesus Christ. Right? Literally.
Yeah,
like, we are very
like
fallible.
Yeah.
And also the amount of power that that someone could wield when you create such an environment is just evil. It's just, it's wrong.
One little thing could go wrong and what screws over everybody? There's too much on the table.
Yeah, there's too much.
And it's already wrong from the get-go, so.
Well, that's the thing, right? So you have basically Germany taking all these punishments for World War One. Germany was not the only, like, there were other countries involved, and Germany was not the only one, but they took the brunt of it. They got shafted, and there was a lot of dislike and disdain that the Germans had against the rest of Europe because of that. And Hitler just fueled that fire, fueled those flames, and then also took it way beyond that. But we think about the end of World War II is where I was trying to get to, where if you build yourself as a nation, like the Founding Father said, like this Charles Lindbergh Sr. said here, don't get involved in these foreign entanglements. Make yourself a very strong, powerful, great nation. And other nations will want to mimic you. They want to follow after your example. But they have to work out their own problems, right? They have to get through their own chaos. If they create chaos for themselves, let them burn themselves to the ground and build themselves back up. Huh. And then want to be like us. It's like, oh, what does America do that's right? Oh, we should do those things. That way we don't keep going into war, right? We don't keep doing these dumb decisions. That's the right way to do it. But the thing is, think of post-World War II. You know what we did? We didn't even allow European nations to follow that example. Because we've been providing basically the primary military defense for all of Europe since World War II. Wow. That's why we've had bases in Germany, in England, and all these other places.
Yeah,
Because after that, it was like, okay, we got Russia here. Crap, we got to make sure Russia doesn't take over the rest of Europe. Because the rest of Europe is completely weakened by the fighting against the Germans. And so we kept all of our military there. But we didn't ever pull it out. We kept it there. Now, if I recall, I believe Trump pulled out some of it. That way, Germany had to start working on its own military because he's like, we're paying for all. Like, your entire military strength is us.
That's weird.
Right? But we've done that for all of Europe this whole time. Now, think back, Rob. Our whole life.
Stupid.
What have Europeans thought of Americans?
That we suck.
Yeah, they think we suck. They're arrogant, they're dumb, and blah. It's like, we literally are keeping you safe.
And
that's not right.
Like, your butts.
They don't, that's the thing. We save their butts, they don't learn. So, do they want to be like us? No. You know what the very first thing they...
Just in Hollywood.
You know what they've been doing over and over since World War II?
What?
Repeating the socialist mistakes of the past, of even Nazi Germany.
I wonder how are they still getting by? Are we sustaining that socialism?
And they get China and other countries to buy them out, buy out their debt, but especially China.
Yikes. Granted, I know that Oh, I lost it. I know we paid for something. Oh, what was it? Was it something in the EU? Were we funding something in the EU?
We were funding almost the entire United Nations. Our contribution was basically making it impossible to exist at all.
And the Paris Climate Accords. That was the thing where we were... Trump pulled out of it. And on the surface, everyone's like, what? No, how could you do that? But it turned out it was a great thing because no one was paying anything, just us, and we were paying for everybody else's.
We're paying for everyone else, and also we were saying, okay, we're going to start effing over our economy and our infrastructure to follow the religion of green here, and that's retarded. It's like, why would we do that to ourselves?
Right, yeah.
There's a list of nations, I am blanking on them right now, but there's a list of nations who have gone the way of going green. Uh-huh. You know, because it's like, oh, save the planet, and they have destroyed their countries. Like, literally, their nations have collapsed economically.
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka's one of them. Yes, that's right.
Holland's in the middle of it, right? Because now they're attacking the farmers.
Yep, they're getting rid of 30% of all their farmers right now, I believe.
Is it?
Or they're reducing it to only 30% of what exists.
No, like, it's different per county or something. At some counties, it's just like 3 or 4% less emissions or fertilizer. I can't remember what it is. And other countries, it's up to 90-something%.
No, but as a nation as a whole, their goal is to get down 30% less farming. It's like, yeah. You guys are...
We could just
You lost your effing minds.
I think we should all just go nuclear.
We should.
Nuclear holocaust.
We had a great family member who's a nuclear physicist.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating that nuclear power literally produces very, very little waste. You know how much...
Did you ask him about it when you visited?
Not this last time. I've talked to him about it multiple other visits.
Yeah.
But no, like, he says the amount of electricity, the amount of power that you would use your entire life, if you use nuclear to power all that amount of waste could fit in a soda can.
For your whole life?
For your whole life.
Oh, man.
Think about that, right? It's like, hold on. How much waste do we produce just by making solar panels?
So much.
Solar panels are extremely... They create so much pollution. Building, but if I recall correctly, building, but most certainly every time they go through the recycling process for solar panels...
They don't recycle.
They produce horrible pollution, like... Awful, awful, yeah. Bad pollution.
Mike was telling me about that.
Right, and then all the pollution that. we create to make windmills and all that jazz. Windmills, they don't last very long. They don't even produce good enough electricity.
Yeah.
If they did, then who's keeping?
And it has to be windy.
It also kills all these birds. Every time I drive down to Southern California or Vegas, you know, like going through that area of Nevada, you have all these stupid mirrors. Like you have a giant.
Oh, yeah.
Like a mile-long strip of all these solar panels. I'm like, okay, sweet.
It feels like you're in a
sci-fi
movie.
But then you have these mirrors. Have you seen the study on that?
The mirrors?
So PragerU does a video about it. They talk about how ridiculous all the screen crap is. And they say, they mentioned that those mirrors produce so much heat above it, it kills every bird that flies over it. Like hundreds of birds die all the time because it literally bursts into flame. That's how hot it is.
They'll burst into flame.
They literally burst into flame and just fall.
Oh man.
Because they create because they're reflecting all this sun up to create to heat up the water in these pipes and you know cause it to create more energy, right? Steam.
Huh.
It's freaking retards.
Could you imagine if you were paragliding and you're like doo 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 and you're like, oh no. Swedish chef.
But if you if you're a paraglider and you're going for that shiny thing in the sky, you're as dumb as a fly going for a fly zapper.
Shiny thing on the ground. That's right.
Maybe for anything in the sky. I feel bad for anyone who listens to that impression.
I love it.
Okay, so...
My roommate only does impressions, but I like that one the most, and that's not from
Oh, he does that impression?
No, he doesn't. I just like it when you do impressions.
Okay, so what is the answer to foreign entanglements, right? When it seems like we have all the reasons in the world to be involved, to stop China from taking over Hong Kong, to stop Russia from taking over, you know, Ukraine, you know?
Yeah, I was going to ask you at the end, what's
We should not
answer?
Get involved at all, except we kind of have to in the sense that we created bioweapon labs. We should have just shut them down and destroyed them before. But instead, they haven't done that. So
it's Ukraine as well.
So there eventually becomes a point where you create entanglements, right? Involvements that you can't just so easily pull away from.
Yeah.
This is the principle you need to understand. The easiest way to avoid wasting resources or losing lives over anything is to never get involved in the first place. The easiest way. The easiest way, right?
Just say no.
It's just like the easiest way to quit smoking is to never start, right? There's that saying.
Right, yeah. Or dare
or
to
drugs
avoid
or anything,
drugs.
Right? Like the easiest way to quit something is to never start it.
Yeah, Dr. Evil. No means no.
As a nation, we should... I'll give it to you in two parts. Build ourselves up, but I'm going to throw out the second part because it is in light of what we have been doing since Clinton. That is, we must stop building up our enemies. Stop it. We outsourced like all of these jobs, you know, for manufacturing to who? Who did we outsource it to? Oh, did we outsource it to New Zealand, or maybe some other
quote-unquote allies?
The Philippines, right? Who are an ally of us? No, we went to an existing enemy, someone who has always been an enemy of us since Mao Zedong. Yeah, Mao Zedong. Yeah, since Mao Zedong, right? It's like why would we outsource our work, our business? Why would we build up our enemies through that much serious economic exchange? Why? That makes zero sense. If they're an enemy of yours, I get it if you're trying to soften relations by having some trades there, but truthfully, they are evil and what they do is wrong, and they do want to take it over. It's not a hidden thing. They want to take over the world. Yeah. They want to conquer us. They hate us. So why would we trade with them? Why would we give them our business?
Because they're not saying it flat out.
No, it doesn't matter. So it doesn't seem as serious. It's because you have corrupt leaders, including presidents, who get paid all this money to get to let us do this.
Yeah.
Right? They go, oh, yeah, the Clintons, oh, yeah, yeah, like, no, let's move this over there. And the thing is, it's not just China. Biden, what does he do when he first gets into office? Turn off that pipeline. Let's finish the pipeline in Russia. We'll pay for it. So we can buy your oil, Russia.
Yeah.
I did that.
I didn't realize it was to buy any oil
from Russia. We helped them finish their pipeline. Now they basically control all the oil for all of Europe. So think of that. We enabled an enemy, an evil government to now control almost basically the entire free world, all of Europe, and then we also say, on top of that, I want to pay for your oil. It's double the price per barrel. Whatever, I just want to buy it. It's like literally, I don't get it. Progressives. If you were to take this from a stupid standpoint, meaning you don't believe that this is intentional, then you'd have to assume that these people are the morons who think they can stop a gunman by holding out their arms and saying, "You just need a hug, bro. Come on, right. Bring it in. Right.
So wait, what's the intent? What's the intention to build that for the enemy?
So the intention. I think there's a couple of things behind it. One is they want to enrich themselves. How do they do that? Well, they're getting paid for doing all these wrong things. They also want to increase the power of their base. How do they do that? Well, you weaken anti-nationalism. You weaken your nation. That way, you are dependent upon everyone else, and if things get hot and sticky, they have to turn to you for help because the people have no other option. They're completely dependent. So? That is the way of tyrants across all time.
So you think that's why they keep leaving our borders open, and they keep
they want to cripple our America. Crippling our economy, they want to cripple America money. Until they have all the power, right? They have all the power of the base. It is a communist tactic.
Ideal,
but it's a communist. But I mean, it's a tactic of evil people throughout all of time, right? It's nothing new. I refuse anymore to pretend like, they don't understand what's going on. It's like, well, you can believe that all you want, but somehow, when all the things line up in a perfect row to create the conclusion we're talking about,
perfect storm,
whether or not they know they're doing it, doesn't matter.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it still happened.
Yep.
And it hurts us, and it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Really don't like that.
Yeah. I mean, what are you supposed to say? Have compassion or think differently. No. Stop them. Right?
Yeah.
Stop them. I don't once go, but do you think that guy who brought that gun in and is pointing at people and looks like he's about to pull the trigger, do you think he realizes he's going to hurt people? I think maybe he's just in a mental place right now that he doesn't realize what he's doing. I don't give two shits about that. I'm going to blow his brains out, right?
Yeah.
I don't care if he's in a mental place to realize he's going to hurt people. But does he realize it? the poor guy. It's like, no.
Well, what if someone pulls out their gun and they're about to shoot somebody, but you pull out yours and you shoot them, but then someone thinks that you're a shooter at the mall.
It's like seven people die except for the shooter.
So someone pulls out their gun to shoot you, and someone comes around the corner and goes, oh my gosh, a mall shooter, and shoots that guy.
Rob, I just feel like we just walked into a Twilight Zone where it's like
a never-ending
shoot. But I knew that you knew that I know that I knew that you knew it's that, like, I knew that you knew that I knew that you would know that I had known that you had known this.
Okay, shut up. It's like Pay It Forward, but with bullets.
But with death.
That's right. And then the final guy comes around the corner, and the original shooter, who's bleeding out to death, finally gets his shot in, and he shoots that guy. A complete circle. Now that's justice.
No, it's not. Well, my brain is a little less smart now.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, so let me move to this real fast. You've heard the phrase, tread lightly and carry a big stick.
Yeah.
What do you think he meant by that? Or what does that make you think of in light of our conversation about foreign entanglements, everything else? What might you think of when you think of tread lightly and carry a big stick?
Just be like that dude at the gym who's freaking jacked, but then like dance across the floor. La da da.
Ballet across the floor.
That's right. Yeah. He skips everywhere.
Well, okay.
Essentially, just basically be totally solid.
Well, I think of the phrase tread lightly, wacko. Right? Tread softly. Is it tread softly? It's tread softly. It, to me, that makes me think of, you know, don't get involved in everyone's business.
Uh-huh.
Don't make a show of yourself. Don't be in everyone's business, right? If you're treading softly, no one knows you're there. So if we're thinking of like internationally, we're not in everyone's thing, but we have been in everyone's thing.
Yeah.
For half a century now, more than half a century.
It'd be kind of cool to see what would happen. What would happen to the world and what would happen to us if we're like pulled out of everything. It's like, sorry, we're not really allies. Like this, we're friends, but we're not that close. You know, pull out our base there. Nope, we're not supporting that. Nope, we're not supporting that. I think all our enemies would be like, respect, sweet. And our enemies? Allies. Yeah, well, I think they would respect that. It's like, wait, this country.
Respect what? That we pulled out?
Us pulling out of all these other nations and just focusing on us. Because they might be enemies with another country, and then we're the middleman who makes it awkward, you know?
I mean, maybe you're thinking of enemies who are not like big enemies. They're just kind of like, hi, Americans. Because real enemies have no respect for us, and they will not respect what we do.
I don't know. When Trump was president, they talked about how these nations respected us. Not they liked us. No, so they respected our power.
They feared us.
Yeah.
Would fear. So they respected us out of fear. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Respect
so,
your
so,
parents.
So this is the fear this is parents. The tread softly and carry a big stick, right?
Right.
Let's say we pull out of all these things.
Yeah.
Whether we've pulled out or not.
I think we should. What do you think?
Your focus right here, based on what you just said, is the big stick concept, which is build yourself up, be a big terrible, you know, be a strong, mighty nation.
Yeah.
People will respect you even if out of fear, and that's a good thing. Because
be dope.
Because nation to nation, it's not about, we're not talking about individuals being buddies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like, oh, you know, this country and this country, they never get along, but look at Ted and Fred from those separate countries, the besties, the besties. Why can't the nation be like that? It's like, fantastic. But in the end, you have to be sovereign. You have to defend your home, your culture, your people, because it's not universal. There's no moral relativism is BS. Cultural relativism as well.
Yeah, but
So you're thinking of the carrying the big stick, but I think the tread lightly is also more like you saying we pulling out, right? We're pulling out.
Yeah.
I don't think the act of pulling out would cause enemies to respect us. They will respect us by being strong, right? But by withdrawing from all these areas, and they're going to take advantage, but we have to accept that that will be the consequence. We also have to accept that the consequence that people that we have created for ourselves is the world will hate us for having been there kept them safe, and then left them. Uh-huh. Just like our allies are hating us because we abandoned them. Dude, so...
So you think if we you should see
what
or we
did, if you see what we did to Afghanistan, you see what we've done to Hong Kong, Taiwan, Ukraine, like all these places, and if you read, like I said, read the history of building up to World War II,
yeah,
we are doing exactly what Britain did. It will take you off. Just read The Last Lion. I forgot the name of the author. It's a three-part series about Winston Churchill's life. Just do book number two when it's building up to World War II. You will get the whole story. Because he was involved in the British Parliament all those years. All those years. Huh. And he was a major force in throughout Parliament basically since he got in. And when he was like in his 20s.
Huh.
And dude, it will upset you. You're like, my goodness. They just let Germany do all this stuff. They said, oh, you're breaking the rules. Please don't do that. And Hitler would be like, yeah, sorry. I'm not going to stop doing that. Okay. Will you please think about it? Yeah, we'll think about it. Thank you. Hey, don't take over that country. And, you know, the country's like, huh. You're my ally. You said you protect me from them. Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And then Germany's like, it's ours now. And Britain's like, oh, dang. Okay. Huh. But if you don't take over this next nation, we're going to do something about it. Okay. I was serious. Okay, but maybe last time we'll let that one go. But this time I'm serious. Don't take over this nation or I'm going to do something. Okay, you took over another nation. Okay, I mean it this time. Don't take over this other nation. You've done like five now. Don't do it or I'm going to step in. And by this time, yeah. Germany's like, I've already conquered all these countries. I have all the resources and have grown my military power because now all their people are enlisted.
Yeah.
And that's like, oh, go ahead and try to stop me, Britain.
And he's saying that compares to us now?
Yeah, because all of our allies are being taken over by enemies. And we've abandoned them. We didn't do anything to help them. Hong Kong, Taiwan, Ukraine.
Well, we are kind of helping with Ukraine, but everything's so shady. We don't exactly know.
That is entirely a...
kind of sounds like
what is it called?
Maybe to blame.
It's a front. Or not a front. It's a...
facade.
It's a facade. It's a theatrical performance. There's something else going on. Yeah. So, tread softly. Don't be involved in everyone else's business. So
basically, don't have any friends. or be a friend to everybody.
But carry a big stick. Uh-huh. Build yourself up. I would say number one, militarily. If we learned anything from World War II, it was that we were not keeping ourselves militarily strong. And so... on both fronts, both Europe and Japan, our enemies were more technologically advanced than us militarily. Like, we were outdated by far. And so we had to, like, work really, really, really dang hard. And by the end of the war, we were finally more technologically advanced than our enemies. Think about that. Not until the end of the war.
Man, we could have really... been so much cooler if we just always worked hard.
Yeah. Well, now we continue to keep our military on edge, you know, like building up its power, its abilities and stuff.
Yeah, Space Force.
But this is why the other side of the big stick is to build up your nation to make it whole and strong. Because the greatest weapon out there will never prevent a nation from collapsing. It can't.
Wait. A nation that's prepared... from itself collapsing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can have all the weapons in the world to protect you from other nations, but if you collapse yourself, like those weapons don't do anything.
Right, yeah. Right?
That's why carrying a big stick means nothing if the stick wielder has puny arms, you can't lift the stick, right?
That's
like collapsing.
Take care of the moat in your own eye before you can take care of someone else's moat.
Yeah, beam.
Beam? No, it says moat.
You have a beam in your eye, the moat in their eye.
Moat like a canal of water full of alligators. What does this even mean?
Okay,
it's in your eye, man.
So
it's lay, isn't it?
It is.
But no, I don't think we should be involved at all. Or maybe we get so freaking powerful, and then it's been like 100 years. And on the anniversary, we take over the whole world.
psych, suckers.
We don't even have to take it over through fighting. We just buy them all out. Are you guys tired of being weak?
That's right.
We'll buy you.
We're
growth by acquisition. That's a business term when you expand your own business by buying other businesses.
That's
out.
What we do. That's what, yeah. And
India's like, buy me.
And then, first thing we do, everybody gets a business suit.
Yeah. Okay, so this just took a turn.
I don't know. There comes a point where it's like, I mean, obviously, what you showed me in the 5,000-year leap was about Washington and other people talking about how we are the great neutral state, the great neutral country.
Yeah, we must be.
And we must be. That way, it said we could even thus be a mediator between two countries that are rivaling. But do you think it's too late to be the great neutralizer? I mean, even if we pulled out of everything right now, isn't it a little late?
I would say, if I were talking to a politician about this, because that's how I envision it.
Yeah.
I would say, absolutely, as long as you destroy all of our assets that should not be left in the enemy's hands. If you destroy them on our way out, like freaking Biden should have with... He could have pulled all that military power out of there. Could have shipped it out of there, didn't. So let's pretend he couldn't. That's a lie. Let's pretend... Oh, it could get all this... All the... Black Hawks and all these other things out of Afghanistan. Should have destroyed them.
Yeah.
Hands down, should have destroyed them. Should have been like, every single military personnel, strap some M4s inside of the engines of all of your weaponry. Also, we're going to, you know, destroy all these guns, all this, you know, night vision, all that jazz. They didn't. So, yeah, my answer to you is I don't think it's too late to pull out. I think we still can to withdraw, but... We better take the right corrective measures. That way, we do not leave our enemies strong, like much more stronger than they ought to be. Mm-hmm. Right? They're going to be stronger anyways because they're going to invade whatever space we make a void. But we don't need to give them those tactical advantages.
Mm.
All right, so Rob, Amazon Lord of the Rings.
Oh no! Here we go.
No.
What about it?
So, they tell me, what are your thoughts? I've been watching a number of videos about it.
Well, it's all gearing up to come out on the death of J.R.R. Tolkien. How spot on?
It's so poetic.
It's like they knew they were going to do a bad job.
This kills him. He's like, fetch! Oh!
I mean, at this point, if they put him in the show, I wouldn't be surprised. Look, Tolkien's alive, and he's in the show, and he's a black woman. Because that's all they care about.
He's a trans man.
Yeah.
And they're going to like show him writing the story in his office, looking out his window at modern England and being like...
Racist.
With his rainbow hair, which he combs out of his eyes, starts to write...
What?
And in the second age. No.
Yeah. Oh, it's a mess. It hasn't even come out yet, and it's so controversial. And it's not just me. It's not just you. It's every fan. Yeah, I would say it is two-thirds?
Seven-eighths. Maybe. Seven-eighths of all Lord of the Rings fans are like...
Furious.
You're effing this. Like, don't.
Yeah. Man, I hope no one hears this and and finds out that I'm like... A nerd, but ask me anything, I'll answer it wrong. I promise, I'm not that smart. But
you finally admit it. See, Rob, why should you get upset whenever I kick your trash out? Lord of the Rings trivia game.
I have a bad memory. I have a gimpy leg.
If you always tell yourself that, you'll always have a bad memory.
What?
You should read this book called Miracle Morning. This guy literally got in a car wreck and lost his long-term memory ability, and so you always say, "Oh, I can't remember that. I have a bad memory." And so he always had a bad memory. He started telling himself, no, I have a good memory. And he started getting his long-term memory back.
Fine, I'll
look it up.
So
take that, mother... All
right.
Miracle Morning. That's just his life experience he shares in there. The whole book isn't about that. The book is about how you can revamp your whole life by establishing a power routine in the morning.
Mm.
By the way, millionaires...
Downloading it.
Multimillionaires and billionaires follow power routines.
So the
Amazon Lord of the Rings is why it's so controversial is, so, you know Lord of the Rings, and it takes place in the Third Age. And it's like, okay, cool. Cool story, bro. Why does it matter? And then I'm giving you a down low about it, an understanding of it. Why is that important? Well, Amazon bought the rights to what? What books? The Lord of the Rings, which everyone's seen the movies, which takes place in the Third Age.
Which, it ticks me off that they bought the rights to that book, because now if you buy the Lord of the Rings book,
yeah,
you're giving them money.
Oh, man. That's awful. And anyways, so now they're making it into a TV show. Guess when it takes place? In the Second Age. Guess when Lord of the Rings takes place? The Third Age. It's so freaking annoying. It's like, they're like, well, everyone loves these, so we're not going to remake it. In fact, we're going to go to a different age. We don't own the rights to any of the other books. We're going to make everything up. It's so annoying. So all the characters are made up, which gives them all this freedom to just write whatever. And then they say,
Not that much freedom.
I mean, no, they literally it's based on the works of Tolkien.
Creative license and ruined it.
Oh, it's awful.
They literally just should have been like, this is a TV series that we made from the inspiration that we obtained from Tolkien. Instead of saying this is part of Middle Earth.
Yeah, right? It's almost like something.
Then it would have been like, okay, we're going to accept it. We're going to see there's going to be a lot of similarities here, but okay. But instead they're saying, no, this is Tolkien. It's so inclusive. I'm the first black fat person to be in this show.
So annoying. Yeah, so.
Female too.
Yeah, so that's been some of the controversy. Well, A, the CGI.
British too.
There's a lot. There's a lot to bring up. The CGI doesn't look great in some of it. And this is the biggest funded TV show in history. $1 billion for the first season, right?
Is it a billion?
Yeah.
I thought it was 126 million.
No, it's like 55 million per episode. And they already invested $1 billion into it. I don't know. So stupid.
I encourage every Tolkien fan out there, do not
burn this town to the ground.
Do not watch it at all. Don't watch it at all. And if you really want Amazon to pay, because Amazon really is an evil company and should suffer drastically for many reasons.
Many reasons.
Cancel Prime subscription. Just do it. Cancel it.
I did it.
Get Walmart.com or, you know, like Walmart has a lot of products they can give you.
Yeah. Yeah, eBay, Walmart.com, yeah. And I've used them before, and they're great, so. And I thought I couldn't survive with my Airbnb business without Amazon, but I canceled it. And it hasn't crossed my mind in months. Like, I think I just overused it and probably overspent stuff monthly. Well, so now I have to go to the store.
People never want to give up the convenience, right? It's like they act like it's such a crucial part of their lives. They can't do without it.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it that there are some conveniences that you can't do without easily. But this is one where you literally can do without pretty stinking easily. Anyways, so.
Should we go through all that?
Ironically, they're going to release it on Tolkien's death, which is good because it's like the death of Tolkien himself.
Absolutely.
All over again.
Yeah.
But much more tragic.
Yeah, they might make it very.
His life's work about to be shat on.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, what are some of the things that drive you crazy about? There's all the teasers, trailers, ads, you know, promos, interviews. Comic-Con.
The thing that bugs me the absolute most is them completely changing characters, in particular Galadriel, changing them into something they are not. And I'll be even more specific. This absolute need of theirs to have men acting like, or women acting like men.
Yeah.
Why?
It's Tolkien made
Tolkien made their roles pretty distinct, because it is in real life. And yes, you still have an amazing, brave warrior, Eowyn. I mean, she was, right? but They are literally
not so amazing. They're literally when saying all the women
these
men.
Women are not good enough. These characters are not good enough, and women are not good enough unless they have cojones like men, right? Unless they do things like men. I say cojones because I'm thinking of Galadriel with her legs spread out in that picture.
Yeah, on the picture of magazine.
That must have been so. Like, promo. I wonder what goes through these actors and models' minds when they have to do these things. It's like, how uncomfortable are they, and how do they keep that out of their mind? Because it's like. Yeah. You want me to spread my legs in front of you?
Yeah, and she's wearing, you know, like
this. It's like, men, we naturally have our legs open because, well, we've got stuff there.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Elf women don't have stuff there. That we were told.
Because in our, like, you have to say elf women deal. Because if it's women in this world, you know, it could be anything. Are you a chest feeder, Rob?
Chest feeder.
Are you a monthly bleeder?
Oh my gosh, it sounds like Harry Potter terms. You know?
Freaking retarder.
I'm a Death Eater. No, but yeah, what really bugs me is A, they know everyone is ticked off, and then they gaslight everybody. And it's so annoying.
They had all these articles and all this work prepared in advance because they knew that they were going to face backlash.
Yeah, yeah. So they result to calling all fans racist. Okay,
did you see that Nerdrotic video? So, you know, Amazon released this new promotional video where slow-mo goes by all these people, like all the characters. It's so, like, corny. Yeah. He takes that same scene and makes it into a
soap opera?
No. Into a hairspray commercial.
Oh,
it's
no
so
way.
Good. It's,
I don't know if I saw that.
It is so good. Because it's like, I think he may have literally taken the audio from a hairspray commercial. And from like a 90s hairspray commercial and put it into it. And it was so spot on. So good.
They also made it into someone else did where it shows Galadriel scaling a giant ice mountain with her axe, or no, with her sword, and they made it a Tampax commercial too.
What?
So funny, just like her doing all these sporty things. Yeah, there's also footage that leaked that went out that it shows her taking on a troll, and one of her elf mates holds out his sword downward.
So she bounces off and a springboard.
Yeah, she runs up it, and he like flicks her up in the air, and she spins and like.
Yeah. What do they call that? So what they have the strings attached to you? What do they call that?
Stunts.
No. There's a word for it because it was started from The Matrix. It was became big.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
But it's the same the fight moves, right? Where they have the strings. I forget what that.
Huh.
But there's a word for it. Either way, yeah, they have that. It's like,
yeah, it looks so silly.
It looks so dumb. Like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I have it pulled up if you want me to read it, but Amazon has a policy. This policy includes specific goals for Amazon Studios-based productions. So these are some of the things that they are reaching for. Each film or series with a creative team of three or more people in above the line roles, directors, writers, producers should ideally include a minimum of 30% women, 30% members of an underrepresented racial or ethnic group. This aspirational goal will increase to 50% by 2024. Another thing, casting actors.
Sorry, let me just say, see, they don't even care about quality. If you're for all this crap, and let's say you are a person of color or whatever.
Minority
just think about it. Like they're not choosing you because you're any good.
Yeah. I feel like they...
Doesn't that make you feel less worthwhile? Isn't that insulting? It's like, wait, am I being chosen because I'm good? Yeah, totally. Can you bring your friend? We're down one dark person.
Right, yeah.
Sure. Does he act? No. Okay, bring him anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, another thing, casting actors whose identity aligns with the character they will be playing, like gender identity, nationality, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, disability, aiming to
include... Where are you reading this from?
This is a headline, an article that pulled it up from their, I don't know, from off of Amazon.
Wow.
And there was multiple articles on this. Let's see. Aiming to include one character from each of the following categories in speaking roles, with minimum 50% of these to be women.
Colon. Oh, gosh.
So, aiming to include one character from each of the following categories, LGBTQIA, person with a disability, and three regionally underrepresented race, ethnic, cultural groups. These a people. Single character can fulfill one or more of these identities. Seeking at least three bids from vendors or suppliers on productions, one of which must be from a woman-owned business and one from a minority-owned business. Pay equity across casting, behind the camera, staff and crew, and for vendors and suppliers. And,
dude.
Yeah.
I thought for a long time, I want to make a business where on all the social media posts, everything we do is totally gay-oriented. Gay, like this whole minority crap. Just so I get lots of money and funding, and get all this money, and then just I basically pull a BLM, except for it'll actually be a business where I'm providing value. But I am a wolf in sheep's clothing among them. I'm there just to get their money because I'm going to play the field. What's that? What is that called? Not play the field.
Duping them all.
Yeah, we're gonna dupe them because it's like, okay, let's pretend I'm selling T-shirts. I'm legitimately getting them T-shirts that they want to buy. But I'm going to pretend like I'm a big gung-ho LGBTQ fan. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, and then get all this money. And then it's like, I can make myself really rich while I continue to run my other businesses that don't make me pull out my hair. And then when I want, I'll just overnight switch over my entire website to be selling conservative crap. That way.
Yeah.
Once everyone, all these people start going to my site, they're like, my eyes, what happened? I come out and be like, suckers, you know.
That'd be funny. That'd be
but I thought about it, aside from that funny ending, I've literally thought about doing something similar to that, where I can just make a ton of money easily through pandering. That's the word I'm looking for, pandering. Mm-hmm. Through pandering, while I make money through means, you know, through another business where I feel better about the way I do it. Because right now, all I want is enough screw you money to then say screw you, right? To make a difference because I'm well set up.
Totally.
So it's a tempting idea because it's easy money. Anyways.
Yeah, weird world we live in. I think about that. How their goals are all hiring based on equity, based on these weird. I don't know, would you call them communistic? They're very forceful. I don't know. I really have a problem with that. And they're not going about it in a medieval fantasy realism way, and it's driving me crazy.
No.
And there's no lore to go off of, so they're not even following anything, and there's a likelihood they'll probably have nudity and sex in it. It's like
gay crap in it.
Like Christopher Tolkien's son, who was alive when Lord of the Rings came out, he hated it. And that was Peter Jackson trying his hardest to be true to the lore while fitting everything in these movies.
While making a movie that's still worth watching.
Right? Yeah, yeah. And all the fans were fairly pleased. Well, here we have like the studio not even trying and just... They have all the money in the world, so I don't know. I hate it. It frustrates me to no end.
Think of the quotas they're putting out there, right?
Yeah.
There is something incredibly important. We should do a whole episode just about merit, the importance of merit. Mm. Human beings literally have a need to feel as though they have accomplished something. They have merited the things they have. They have earned what they have gotten. They have achieved. Did they earn what they achieved, or was it given to them? It is extremely detrimental to one's spirit, to their spirits, to their motivation in life, to their sense of well-being, their sense of their self-confidence, their sense of worth and value gets diminished drastically or horribly when you just give people the things for them in their. If you give things to them without them earning it. I mean, you think of like, imagine you're someone of a certain race, you know, minority race, and you get accepted into Harvard, even though your grades couldn't get you there.
Right, yeah.
And, like...
It's kind of insulting.
No, it is insulting. Like, you should never... Like, if you want to really be a good, strong individual, don't ever be like, oh, yay, I made it. You should be more like, F you people. Like, yeah. So I didn't actually earn this? Yeah. I didn't earn this, did I?
It's like, you just saw the color of my skin. Doesn't matter, you're here.
We just wanted enough of you people. What do you mean, you people? I mean, not you, but just... We wanted to fill quota. Ah!
Yeah, it's weird. It's like trying so hard not to be racist that you go full circle and become racist. And,
yeah.
And that's... And then putting it into law.
Yep.
It's effed up.
Or into your policies to run your institutions. Yeah, it is messed up. And so... You will end up with people who they are going to go, they will either reject everything in life because they feel so disenfranchised by this, or they will feel so entitled to everything in life that they will consume everything with their rage. And you want to know why they have rage? Part of the reasons why they have rage is they feel unaccomplished deep down inside. That causes frustration, anger, depression. Like, there's a whole tumult of feelings there, which will express themselves violently often. Now you can have people act that way, you know, violently or you know, do bad things to society, not necessarily out of the rage, but also because they feel so entitled, they believe they should be given everything. But deep down inside, those people are. You know, they're loaded guns, right? They're a firecracker with a lit fuse. We don't know how short it is because deep down inside, they are constantly hurting themselves by participating in this. They're being hurt by the ones who manipulate them and use them for their own means, you know, like even for the means of filling a quota to look righteous. And they hurt them. They also hurt themselves by saying, oh yeah, I should do that. Yeah, I deserve this. Yeah. Yeah, you colonizers ruined my life. Yeah, you gotta look at the past and, you know, like they crap themselves, change their diapers out and come back like, you are more handouts. Yeah. And they're still angry, depressed, suicidal. I mean, you have all those problems out there. And then you get people who come from these groups and they find Christ. Or they find reason, at least. And their lives change. They become happier, civilized, and human beings. Well, that is all for today. Rob, any last words? Oh, I don't know why I ask you this. Yeah. This turns out bad.
Thanks. I think you should bring guests on. So if you guys want guests
on... It's been a crazy summer. Yeah.
If you want to be a guest on, reach out.
What? Did you just offer?
Yeah.
I am picky about who I let on.
Well, but then they would email.
True.
And then
email contact@alexspicer.com. You email me there. I'll respond to you. It is working. That email is working. Rob can confirm that.
Yeah. I want to see you talk to a guest.
Oh yeah, because all the interviews I've done, you were never there for.
That's right. Ever since you changed,
I'll have to line some up. You know, this summer's been crazy because of just. I mean, I've been gone.
Well, for many, many weeks.
Yeah, I'm back now.
That's right.
I'm back.
The boys are back in town.
Boys are back in town. Yeah,
they got the reference.
They got their what?
They know the reference.
Oh, I thought they said they got their Rembrandts. I'm like, why are you bringing up? No, they've got the Monets.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I hope you've learned something valuable here, and we'll be back again next week. Live free until next time. Wait, hold on. Sorry, this podcast is not over. Okay, totally meant to read. Crap. When we were talking about Amazon Lord of the Rings, Amazon Tour of the Rings. There was, so everyone gives the whole thing a bunch of crap because they're like, oh, and what's wrong with, you know, like, why can't there be people, you know, like, who look different or whatever else in this movie? Because it's easy to sound like a racist when you're like, oh, you know, it doesn't make sense for there to be black people, black elves, right? Black elves or any of this other stuff because, well... That's not where the Lord of the Rings took place. It is literally the lore for England, right?
Right, yeah.
So basically prehistoric England before modern day where slaves were brought over, right? Or really mass migration around the world
existed. Right, and they talk about this if you watch like documentaries, because he felt like Tolkien, the author, felt like there wasn't a lot of mythology in England.
There wasn't. It was missing
some, so he wanted to write one.
Yeah, the Norse had the Norse gods, the Greek had the Greek gods, right? And they have all their histories and stories behind it.
Right, yeah.
England had nothing.
And so that's how he considered it.
Yeah.
So when he's describing all his people and he's saying they have fair skin or tan skin, it's very direct in how he describes it.
He makes it very clear what they look like, right?
Yeah. There's no question.
No one here is trying to be racist. What we want is authenticity. We want authenticity with what was created.
If you're a purist for the books.
I mean, right. But if we were to like we're going to do a TV show about the Norse gods and the creation of those sort of peoples.
Right. Or King Arthur.
And Thor's black. Right. And Odin's Asian. It's like, okay. Yeah. I mean,
right. Yeah.
I guess this is MCU stuff, or were we going to watch, you know, a show or, you know, about that? Even if you were to read it in a book, it's kind of like, what the fetch?
Right.
Like, make this real. I don't want to read, you know, this Asian awesome warrior story like I've read before and be like, wait, why is that guy American? Right?
Right, and it's not bad. It just makes things weird, you know? It'd be like a medieval movie, and there's a lesbian couple. It'd be like, oh, why? You know, this doesn't make sense. Because back then, there were no lesbian couples.
Or transgender knights. Yeah,
and it's not saying one's bad and one's good. It's just saying that's weird, and it's clearly forced. And how is it forced? Well, through that whole freaking list they sent you.
We're going off on a long tangent. I'm just trying to say,
sorry.
No one's racist here, and fans around the world of all races are not racist or against their own race. We just want the Tolkien literally created his life's work, or you know the Middle Earth thing. You know, this work is him creating the mythos for England, and it is for England. In fact, that's why. This is why I'm continuing the recording here. Because I meant to read this, dang it, when we were talking about it. There's a quote, Rob, you sent me. And it's from Tolkien. He says, oh, you can read it because I have to turn my head. My face won't be in the microphone.
The theater of my tale is this earth, the one in which we now live, but the historical period is imaginary. The essentials of that abiding place are all there, at any rate for inhabitants of Northwestern Europe. So naturally, it feels familiar, even if a little glorified by the enchantment of distance and time.
So,
at any rate for inhabitants of Northwestern Europe.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, it's for this earth, but particular to people of Northwestern Europe.
Right. And I would say...
So like, you still get Sri Lanka in there, right? And Pakistan, right?
Yeah. I know, it's very... It's
Ghana, right? At least.
And the only reason why they're in today is because we're at this weird point in society where all this is important. And 20 years from now, maybe we're going to look at this and go, man, we were stupid.
No, 20 years from now, all white people will be enslaved.
And even still, it's like, well, it's not just mentally white people. It's Northwestern Europe. So name all the countries. Because who's to say Swedes look the same as English compared to the Irish, compared to, you know, it's not just whitewashing and saying, well, you're white. I mean, I think ethnicity
no one gives a flying crap about their race, about their skin color.
Yeah.
None of us care about our skin color. I don't care what someone's skin color is, because that doesn't determine what their outlook on life is. That doesn't determine their backstory.
Yeah.
If I believe they all have the same story, that would pretty well make me racist, because I'm saying, oh, they're of that color, they gotta be like this.
Yeah.
Even if it's positive, still freaking racist. You must take individuals, right? Take them for who they are. Because their skin color is the most useless thing about them. It is. It's completely useless. So, yeah. I'm glad Tolkien, you know, it's not like he ever specified, like, where do people were. Well, he did. There you go. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. Please share this with other people who might enjoy this and could use the information from this podcast. Once again, I'm going to say this. Live free until next time.